Our scripture this morning is found in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 8, and also 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18. Reading first from Philippians. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And from 1 Thessalonians, rejoice always, never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Rejoice, pray, and praise is the trifecta of Christian living. If we do these three things well, we will live an amazing life. And I don't mean that our circumstances will always be perfect, but in those circumstances, we will be amazing. We will be like a brilliant, shining light, as bright as the noonday sun. But is it really possible? Is this just some, you know, Christian pipe dream or a bar that a preacher has set that's way too high? Are the expectations exceeding our ability? Well, an angel came to a young girl and said, God's going to have a son and it will be put in you. And in that conversation, the angel said, for nothing will be impossible with God. But that was a circumstance. In real life, though, is this possible? Well, Jesus said, speaking about a sacrificial life, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So I ask again, is it possible for us to live a life that is rejoice, pray, and praise focused? Yes, absolutely yes, with God. And with means accompanied by. When we are accompanied by God, everything is possible. You can forgive that person you swore you could never forgive. You can love that irritating, oh, horrible neighbor who's forever pushing your buttons and being a problem. You can have reconciliation in a relationship you've seen been destroyed and looks like there's no hope. With God, all things are possible. Paul writes in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Which means the first thing we need to do in order to live a life that is rejoicing, praying, and praising is to be aware of God's presence in our life. To become God conscious. God is present whether you're tuned in or not. God is there. But you can't benefit from God's presence unless you tune into it. Every waking moment should be lived in an awareness that God is with us and that God wants to be actively involved and engaged in our thoughts and our actions in every aspect of our living. And this is the only way that I know of that we ever live the amazing, abundant life Jesus died for us to have. A life that has these three components: rejoice, prayer, and praise. Now the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, gives us some direction. He said, always be full of joy in the Lord. And then he rephrases it to say, I say it again, rejoice. To be full of joy is expressed in rejoicing. Now, the New Testament was originally written in Greek, and the Greek word that we translate to be rejoice literally means favorably disposed to God's grace. And isn't that exactly what we need in all of our trials, even in the good times? To be favorably disposed to God's grace. Rejoicing reminds us of that position. It reminds us of God's goodness. It reminds us of God's favor. Rejoicing especially when evil rears its ugly head. And rejoicing isn't about expressing a joyful emotion or putting on a brave face while we endure hardships. Rejoicing is about expressing a confidence in our hope found in Jesus Christ. Paul writes in Romans, rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. So what do we have to rejoice about? I mean, especially in the hard times. We can all probably think of things to rejoice about in the good times. But when things are hard, when troubles happened, what have we got to rejoice about? Well, I thought we'd write a list. We are Christians filled with the Holy Spirit. Item one. And that Spirit contains the resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead. So it's no wimpy little Spirit, it's a powerful Spirit. We've been forgiven of every sin we've ever done, and the ones we're gonna do later that we don't even know about yet. Our forgiveness is complete in full. We've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, which means we were bought back. We were owned by our enemy. Jesus has bought us back. That's what redeemed means. We've been bought back. And we've been reconciled to God, which means when we approach God, he's warmly welcoming us. Our relationship is good. We've been given the robe of righteousness to wear, which means when God looks at you, he doesn't see your mistakes, your faults, your flaws, your brokenness. He sees you righteous because he's looking at your heart. And that's where the Holy Spirit dwells. We are the objects of God's love. We are the recipients of God's love and grace. And we have a place with God now and for all eternity. An eternal relationship with our Creator. That's a pretty good list. And none of these truths are dependent upon our circumstances. We didn't give ourselves any of these things. They've all come through the finished work of the cross. Because of Jesus. So Jesus has done everything needed to give us this list. That's a pretty big list to be rejoicing over. This list is true in the good times, and I think even more true in the bad times. Being aware of God in us reminds us of these truths. And like I said, that gives us much to rejoice over. The second piece of this trivecta is to pray. Both of the passages that I read this morning both include something about prayer. One says, pray about everything, and the other says, never stop praying. It sounds a little impractical. I mean, I can pray while I drive, and I can, you know, take time out of my day and pray, but pray without ceasing, never stop praying? Come on, God. How am I going to get anything done if I'm spending all my time in prayer? But continuous prayer isn't as much an action as it is an attitude of the heart, where you are God-conscious and in intentional fellowship. So being aware of God's presence, being aware of Christ in you, makes you God-conscious, and it opens the communication channels. It's like your cell phone is always tuned into God. You are always, there's always openness between you and Him, and so communication flows. As soon as something happens, you're thinking, God. And so throughout the day, when you walk this way, you are praying about everything, because as soon as something goes wrong, you're like, oh, Father, help me figure this out. Or you see a situation, you're like, Father, please be present there. Help those folks in that, you know, if it's a car accident or something that you've witnessed. It's just having God present with you throughout your day and being aware of that. That's praying without ceasing. Praying is just talking to God, communication. It isn't like closing yourself in a closet and kneeling down and, you know, being in a very prayerful position. That is prayer, but that's not all prayer is. And so praying without ceasing is speaking to this attitude of our heart that we are in relationship and constant communication. Don't neglect God. Don't shut Him out and only go looking for God when there's trouble. And a lot of people live that way. When they've exercised all their possibilities and they can't think of anything else to do, well, I guess we better pray. And it should be the first thing we do, especially if we're following this walking with Jesus and we're praying continuously in that open communication. It should happen first. And I guarantee it will save you a lot of frustration in life if we get in the habit of going to God first. Don't keep God in the Sunday morning box. He's way too big to just be thought about 1 hour on a Sunday morning. He's way too big. Let Him be who God is in your life. And then you can be who God designed you to be. And that's the best life you could possibly live. The third piece of this little trivecta flows naturally from rejoicing and praying, and that is praising. And praising is an expression of gratitude. Acknowledging God's blessings in our lives, acknowledging God's hand in circumstances. It honors God and it glorifies Him. That's praise. As simple as that. And again, both passages talk about gratitude. The first said, tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. Any of you who are parents, if your kids come to you and ask for something and you provide that and they walk away and then the next time they come to you, they want something else and they never say thank you, don't you feel a little reluctant to keep on giving? And I'm not saying God is stingy at all, but gratitude speaks to our dependence on God, our thankfulness for all that He's done, our willingness to be a part of God's creation in a way that God's designed us to be. It's a beautiful thing. A grateful heart is one that God can use. It's a posture of humility, meekness, and sincerity. The Psalms tell us that we enter God's presence with a thankful heart. It's how we come to God. Paul writes in Colossians, whatever you do, whether it's word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We can't do anything on our own. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. So being thankful for all that God has done for us and in us is an acknowledgement that on our own we can do nothing. David, who is described as a man after God's own heart, says this in Psalms 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. We have lots to rejoice about. We have lots to be thankful for. There are over 100 passages in Scripture that talk about a thankful heart. Think that's important to God? I do. And it's a key component in living this Christian trifecta of rejoice, praise, and prayer. All three are intertwined and they support each other. The more thankful we are, the easier it is to rejoice. And the more we pray, the easier it is to be thankful and to praise. In fact, Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. We are stronger when we hold on to these three things and let them be who we are in life. This happy little triad shines the brightest light. It gives God the honor and the glory in our lives. It's an amazing testimony bearing witness to the authenticity of God in a world that doesn't believe he exists. When we live this way, we will look different than those people who don't know Jesus. We won't fall apart in a crisis. We won't be difficult to get along with. We'll be the calm in other people's storms. We'll be the light in their darkness. We will look different. And God has promised us that our reward will be God's peace. A peace that surpasses all understanding. A peace that doesn't make sense to anybody, not even us. And that peace will protect our hearts and our minds from the assault of the world. No one's gonna uproot you because you'll know that you know that God is real, that God is in you, and that God works through you. So let's take it on. And let's make these three things important in our lives and to get in the practice of doing them. At first, we might have to do it intentionally, but I think in time it will become just self-conscious. It's just, or subconscious, it's just who we are, and it will be a part of us. So rejoice, pray, and praise. It's Jesus' way. Gracious God, we pray that you would give us, your children, hearts and minds in tune with your will. May we grow in spiritual wisdom and in understanding. May our words and actions bring honor to you, and may our lives reflect your glory and grace and love to everyone we meet. May we rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in every circumstance. And may we carry this light of Christ with us into the world.